Ooh, tasty high note.
Oh, hi, don't mind me. I'm practicing my new baritone sax. I just heard PayPal's paying for people's stuff every day for 100 days, and there's 10 million up for grabs. All you have to do is use PayPal checkout online. So there's never been a better time to buy a few things off the old wish list. Like this leaf blower!
PayPal could pay for your purchase. The Great PayPal Checkout.
No purchase necessary. Ends July 18th. See official rules at paypal.com/thegreatpaypalcheckout/terms. Participating merchants only must use PayPal Checkout online. Coverage of up to $100 and eligible purchases per card.
My guest today is Phil Kohler, here to talk about his review of Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Welcome.
I'm so glad to be back. Justin, I haven't slept in 2 weeks.
Holy crap, Phil. We are going to talk about... It sounds like... I just finished reading your review. Sounds like a good game.
It's
sounds
all
like
right.
a good game.
It's okay. It's pretty okay.
It's Dragon Age Inquisition. It's pretty exciting. I want to ask... You kind of touched on it there, so I'm going to start with this question. What is it like to review an 80-hour-long video game?
it's intimidating. Right. It's arguably one of the worst things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a worse job. It is definitely one of those moments where you look at the job of reviewing a game. And where it actually gets challenging, where it actually gets really difficult, because you hit this point where you're like, you can't spread it out, right? You can't say like, well, I really like this game, but you know, at a certain point, you only want to play so much of a game in one sitting. And when you're on a review for a really long game like this, you got to push yourself to just keep playing, no matter what. So it gets a little bit exhausting. It certainly helps. In situations like is the case with Dragon Age Inquisition, where the game itself is actually very good.
Actually, not to dip into reader questions early, but Alex had a question about that. He asked, what was your philosophy on jumping into side quests and activities? With the amount of content included in Inquisition, it seems like it would be challenging to decide when you've done enough and need to forge on through the critical path.
Yeah, so I kind of tried to balance it. In the first couple of areas, I did pretty much every side quest that I could until I hit a point where I was like, okay, I'm not leveled up enough for this, so I guess I should move on. And then later in the game, I kind of went through the critical path for a while, and then later in the game went and did some side quests again. But I definitely, I hit a point, which was probably last week on like Friday night, where I was like, okay, I need to put away the side quests and really start focusing on the main story. So one of the good things for the review process with Dragon Age is actually the way that you progress main story missions, the way that you open up the main story missions is through something. It's a resource that you get called power. And the way that you get power is by completing side quests. So there are actually specific points in the game where it kind of forces you to go and do some of the side quests. So for review purposes, that actually worked out really well because I could check out the side quests and not feel like I was just wasting my time or like I should be focusing on the main story.
Mm-hmm. Phil, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about Dragon Age.
Sure.
I realized this when I booted up the game and I realized, hold on, there have been a couple of these. I don't remember a damn thing about Dragon Age. How much do I need to know from like a lore perspective going in, and does it sort of catch me up?
Yeah, so it the game tells its own separate story. It is connected to the events of the previous games, but it is largely a new cast of characters, a couple returning characters, but mostly new people. Your hero is new, so you're not going to be totally left out in the cold if you don't remember anything. What I would recommend, EA has created this really cool tool called Dragon Age Keep. And you can go on to Dragon Age Keep and, log into your Origin account, if you have an Origin account. And you can actually recreate your choices from the previous games. Since it's moving over to next gen, they couldn't just carry over your save. So they let you, you know, essentially make the choices that you wanted to make. And it kind of did a good job for me of catching me up and reminding me, like, oh yeah, this happened in Origins, and this happened in Dragon Age 2, and this happened in that DLC that I never played.
There are a lot of characters in this game, like a lot. How does it keep you connected to all of them?
Yeah, so there's it's 9 total playable party members, which I think is more than any of the previous Dragon Age games. And then in addition to that, you've got all of these non-playable characters who are hanging out at your, you know, at your base of operations, who you can talk with and get to know better as well. You know, the way that it does it, I think, is the same way Dragon Age always has, which is lots and lots of dialogue, and lots of these really cleverly written little segments where you make choices and the character reacts based off those choices, and it will tell you whether they approve or disapprove of what you said, and it reveals more and more about who they are and their past. And that definitely helps flesh those characters out a lot. In addition to that, the characters kind of have this just regular moment-to-moment dialogue as you are exploring these zones, which I really liked a lot as well. They actually interact with each other through these dialogues, and it really encouraged me to bring together different groups of people. So I would think, like, you know, what would happen if I bring both of these rogues along? Like, what weird things are they going to say to each other? So I was actually pushed to try going out into the world with different weird party compositions.
Dragon Age 2, really, from what I do remember, I don't remember anything about the story, but I do remember this. Dragon Age 2 really shaped kind of around you. The choices that you made were not just like influencing the story, it sort of became the story based on your decisions, and it was almost kind of distracting for me because it felt like a story that I was just sort of making up as I went along rather than a narrative that I was experiencing. Does Dragon Age Inquisition have that same characteristic?
I would say to some degree certainly, but I think it's different in the sense that in Dragon Age Inquisition, you are the choices that you make are changing things on that level. They're changing things as your adventure progresses, but a lot of them are more about changing sort of the shape, the political landscape of the world of Dragon Age. So a lot of them are really big choices. They have more of a lasting impact. So it's stuff that, like, at the end of the game, the world is going to look very different because you made this choice.
Mm-hmm. I've got a ton of questions from listeners,
sure.
Phil, both about minuscule errata and non. So let's just truck on through them. First one's from Daniel. My wife and I have played through the Mass Effect games together. She does conversations and I do combat and environmental navigation, passing the controller to each other for our segments. This causes a bit of confusion and fumbling when conversations rapidly turn into combat. How common is this in Dragon Age Inquisition?
I would say very uncommon, actually. I would say it probably happens a lot less than in something like Mass Effect. There are very few situations where, for example, you're in a conversation and you have the choice to just attack someone. And there are a handful, but still not that many situations where you're done with a conversation and immediately leads into combat. It definitely happens, but it's not very common.
Does Dragon Age embrace a good and evil spectrum like Mass Effect or no?
No, not really. You know, there's definitely, you have choices that can kind of correspond to being a traditional hero versus being kind of a roguish hero. But you're a hero no matter what. And then a lot of the bigger choices that you're forced to make are a lot more, there's sort of that dark fantasy gray area of, like, there's not a right or a wrong choice. Somebody's going to get hurt with either of these choices, and you have to decide which is the one that makes more sense.
A question from Dan, who asks, does Inquisition have lore and descriptions attached to most of the items, weapons, equipment, etc., like Dragon Age Origins did, or only a handful of items like Dragon Age 2? I love the little bits of lore, and I read every single one in Dragon Age Origins. It really helped to flesh out the world for me. Dan, who apparently has quite a good deal of free time on his hands.
Sure. I don't think the lore stuff is attached to weapons or armor very often in Inquisition, but there are tons and tons of books and notes and other bits, tons of, like, literally hundreds and hundreds of them. And when you find them, it goes into your codex in the game, and it's there forever. So you can go, if you want to, like, find all of that stuff and then just spend a night reading through everything in that codex, you've got a good, you know, probably 8 to 10 hours of just reading. Just reading fun.
My, what a delight.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your books out of my games. Games. Another one from Steven here. Dragon Age and a lot of RPGs typically use metaphor when commenting on real-world issues. Racism in Dragon Age, for example, is represented between humans and elves. While playing Inquisition, however, I noticed two characters in particular representing true-to-life marginalized groups that are also persecuted in the game. How do you feel about this, and do you think that hiding this kind of discussion in big games behind metaphor is cowardly or an easy way out for publishers?
I
think that last is not really an either or. It's sort of like a damn if you do, damn if you don't. But give me your impressions of it.
Sure. You know, it's hard to say without knowing which specific characters, and I assume that the person writing this question was trying to avoid spoilers. So I won't go into too much detail. What I will say is that generally, I think using metaphor to in fantasy or science fiction to refer to situations in the real world is something that fantasy and science fiction and genre fiction in general has done forever. That's just part of genre fiction. So I don't think it's cowardly or a bad thing to do. You know, I think that there can be good and bad ways to do it. I would say in general, my impression is that Dragon Age Inquisition mostly handles it really well, and in a way that I think felt both true to the world and also like it was saying something worth saying about our real world as well.
A question from Ben here, and I'm not sure how much of this you can answer without getting spoilery, but give it your best shot.
Sure.
What romance options did you go with, and did it or they feel better or worse than the typical BioWare romantic interactions?
So there are a lot of romance options in this one. I was playing as a Qunari, which is a giant horned demon creature. So that limits your romance options a little bit because some people...
Bigots!
That's exactly right. It's commenting on real world issues where some people in the real world don't want to sleep with giant horned demon creatures.
I love them. You know what they make me feel?
What are they?
Horny.
Ha ha!
Nailed it.
Boom.
Dad jokes.
I will say there were a couple of different romance options that I pursued kind of like halfway there until I decided on one.
Which is, by the way, calling them romance options is in no way like a grossly clinical stomach churning way of referring to romance in games.
It's not just in games. That's what I call them in real life, too.
Okay, perfect. I pursued my romantic options with you. And
you're my favorite romance option at the moment.
You're my favorite romance option at the moment.
That's going to be my Valentine's Day card.
Okay.
The one that I ended up with, beautiful young lady, the beautiful young virtual lady who I ended up courting. I would say it actually was a little bit better than the average BioWare game because it presents it more like a relationship and less like you're trying to
a quest.
It's less like you're trying to fulfill a quest and your reward is virtual sex. It's more like once you're in a relationship with this person, you keep interacting with them as though you're in a relationship, and other people in your party comment about how you're in a relationship with them. It isn't just like this one weird kind of awkward sex scene and then it's done, at least with the person that I ended up with. They also took out the systems that they had I know this was in Origins and I think it was in Dragon Age 2 as well, which was in order to get people to like you, you gave them gifts. And that's what led to the romance. They took that out entirely. I think they realized that was kind of a gross way of presenting romance options.
I don't ever like that, actually. Like, romance or not, I hate giving gifts. Like, in Danganronpa, I have to like, check a chart.
You mean in real life, too, though.
Do they like chocolate? Yeah, that's true. a question from Miguel, who says, how does Dragon Age help players ease into the world of progression? With the game being so huge, is it easy to grasp its size and not feel overwhelmed?
I would say that I felt overwhelmed pretty often, but I think the biggest thing that they do is they close off areas. So you have this the thing that called the War Table, and this is kind of what I mentioned earlier about how you need to gather this resource called power, and that's going to enable you to continue missions and to open up new areas. So until you've gathered enough power, you can't even open new areas on the map. So you're kind of limited to one zone until you've gathered a certain amount of power. Then you can go to this next zone, and you're gated in that way.
One last question here, and this one comes from Jaboy Hoops, Justin, right here. If you had to guess, why isn't this called Dragon Age 3?
I don't know. You know, honestly, it's a good question, because this is actually...
Dragon Age Origins was, it should be noted, a terrible name.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Just call it Dragon Age. It's the first one. It is indeed the Origins, correct.
Inquisition is actually more tightly tied to Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2 than those two games were to each other. So it makes more sense for this to be 3 than it did for Dragon Age 2 to be Dragon Age 2. My best guess, honestly, is that Dragon Age 2, you know, critically was not that well received. I think maybe they might have looked at reactions to that and been like, you know, in exploring the problems, and there were many problems with Dragon Age 2, I think one of them might have been, maybe we shouldn't have called this Dragon Age 2. Maybe that was a mistake, because it's a very different game. Likewise, Inquisition is a very different game from those two, so maybe they decided, let's not call it Dragon Age 3, let's call it its own thing. I'm sure also there's probably some marketing reasons of, like, it probably helps pull in more more potential players who...
Since this has been so long.
Yeah, I mean, they might be scared off by a 3, right? They might be like, well, I didn't play the previous 2, so I can't do this. But since it doesn't say 3, they might be like, well, I'll jump in, sure.
Phil, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to you for listening. We sure appreciate you. If you get a second to subscribe to our show on iTunes or share it with a friend or rate us and review us there, all that stuff helps us out tremendously. So if you take a second to do that, we sure appreciate it. And you can email us. Right now our regular email is not working, so you can just email justin@polygon.com. If you got a question about an upcoming game, just get quality control on the subject there so I'll know what you're talking about. Until the next time we have a game to talk about, for Phil Kohler, I'm Justin McElroy, and thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.